Greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ. It's again another privilege to be here. We think of that many times. We have a privilege every time we gather. Thank the Lord for that. This morning we're gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, what we heard about this morning. We were gathered and we'll probably never gather in this way again, like this. So it's a beautiful opportunity. It's not just any old gathering. We gather together with each other, with our families, with God's people, to worship our Lord, to hear from Him. We did hear from Him very clearly this morning. I was sitting here thinking, I don't know what to do with what I have to say. I don't. Because what I have to say is about exactly the same, about word for word, what Brother Dan was talking about. Other than I thought that it's very harmonizing, and harmony is beautiful. And so we'll just say a few things again. Try to not cover some of the areas that Dan covered. God bless you, brother. We're a people. They're going through life. We want to live for Him. We want to live for the glory of His kingdom. Brother Dan shared some of those thoughts. I think before we get into some of the thoughts that the Lord laid upon my heart, I would like to just rise together for a word of prayer. Let's do that. Father in heaven, this morning we bow before You and humble our hearts before You, Father. We ask You to take away any hindering spirits. Father, we ask You to be in our midst and help us, Lord, to convey the things that You lay upon our heart. Lord, not words per se, but the burden that You lay upon our hearts. Father, we need this in our life. Thank You for the burden that You allowed Brother Dan to share, the truth, the encouragement, the excitement, the inspiration, Lord. It calls for repentance. It calls for altar of course at times. It calls for whatever the cost, Lord, and we bow before You in that way as Your people this morning, that whatever the cost, Lord, we're willing to pay. Help us to be of that spirit, of that nature today. Lord, I pray that You would watch over us, guide and keep our hearts and minds upon You. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us. Commit this part of this service into Your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to try to continue. Some weeks ago, I had a thought that I wanted to share on rekindling a godly vision. And so maybe just for a little bit of a recap, we'd like to just look at some of that. We talked about the definition of vision, and Dan shared it again this morning. It's not God's will for us to live by hindsight. It's God's design and will to live by foresight. Foresight, remember that? The definition is foresight. It's a revelation through His Word, a revelation of truth through His Word. It's a supernatural vision to the mind. Every one of us have natural visions, and we all could share our stories. But what we want to talk about is a supernatural vision. And hindsight is dangerous. There's loss. It's a conviction of a body of truth that don't change. When men meet God, we learned. Somebody remember what we talked about? When men meet God, it's okay if you don't. Convictions are formed. It's true. Convictions are formed. True visions come from a transformed life, not reformed. Then we looked at two Bible characters, one in a positive and one in a negative. Somebody remember who those two men were? Joshua and Hezekiah. And then lastly, we started into the family a little bit with husband-wife relationship. Husbands and wives, and we started on that, and I think we pretty much finished that. Husbands, do not be bitter against your wives. Love them. Make her great. We talked about. Make your wife great. Aspire to live that way. and you'll have a good marriage. Wives, seek to please your husbands in all things. We talked about that. So that was just a little bit of a recap. And today, what it's going to look like, we're not going to go back to husbands and wives today. We're going to talk to children, like maybe younger children. If you can hear and understand, we'd like to invite you to listen. But we're not forgetting us as parents. We talked about that, our role. We try to give ourselves as much accountability as you. We need that. We have a role to live in as parents, as Christian parents. So today we're going to talk to children. And today I thought of, if anybody would remember this, everybody remember, Brother Steve, this has been in our home ever since I can remember. This is called the rod of God in our home. It's just what we call it. It works. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Now, it's just our home. There's some things in life that are in God's plan, and they work. They're a blessing. We want to look at that from maybe the smaller children, and then we want to go into the mid years, and maybe we'll let some of those older teen years, as Brother Dan talked about, according to what time we have. We would like to look at that in our children, raising our children, teaching our children. And again, I think I shared the last time, the burden that would come upon my heart is our own family, our own needs. We're not condescending with a jet coming in like we got this thing. We're here. We're with you. We're in the middle of the battle. The war is raging. But we're encouraged to keep on. We want every one of us in here this morning would like to fulfill God's plan as we live here. We would like to look at God's plan, and we'd like to look at some things that push against this plan. And them things become pretty practical. And some of you can add and take away as we go through this. So if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, some just very familiar scriptures. We'll read them, just go through these. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 2 and 3, but we'll look at 1 and 2 in the Amplified Version. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." In parentheses in the Amplified, it says, "That is, accept their guidance and discipline as his representatives." As his representatives, for this is right. "For obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline." In verse 2, it says, "Honor, esteem, value. Honor your father and mother." With the Amplified, it says, "Honor, in parentheses, esteem, value as precious your father and your mother. And be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with promise." You know, the argument has been on verse 3 that you may live long on the earth. But there's some interpretations and some scholars have said that it may be well with thee on earth. I think that's true. I think it's very true. Dan shared a little bit of his testimony. "I remember the day I gave my heart to my father. It's well with my wife, my father and I. It's well with us. It's not always that way, I understand. But we want it to be well with us." That's the burden of God. That's why God's Spirit speaks to Brother Dan. Call your father. Because that's how God works. No matter the situation can be kind of difficult. But the principle is still the same. Think of this, children. Think of this. Your parents as representatives of God for you. Children, your parents. Your parents are always there for you. What better way to obey God, children? There is no other way except obey your parents. So I know this. I know these things are very real. We know these things. The Word of God is powerful, for it is born from an eternal perspective. It isn't born by some of our experiences that have not been so good. We've had those. But this truth is born from eternity. It works there. It works and it works and it works. And I was thinking this morning, what could I preach about this that we could preach in 20 years from now? So we sat around in our family. We talked about some of the thoughts that I have. We share life together in our family. You know, it's been a reality to my wife and I. Today it's been 20 years since the Lord gave us our firstborn child. Today on the day. We were both a Christian for a few years. And we looked at this and we thought, oh God, how? But these principles have been a burden in our life from that day forward. As Brother Dan shared, there's been many nights where children go to bed, you go outside. You don't always know the answer, but God does. Children, your father doesn't always hit it right. I didn't. I still don't. But children, we want to call you to a high standard today. Children, we do that with us parents too, continually. Obey your parents. In Colossians, it says the same thing. If you turn over there, similar, Colossians, it does add something there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Think of this. The same thing says in Colossians there. It says, children, obey your parents as God's representatives in all things. For this attitude of respect and obedience is well-pleasing to the Lord. So the question we could say, children, if you want to be well-pleasing to the Lord, obey your parents. It's many children are looking what to do, how to be missionaries, how to be revival leaders, how to be whatever they want to be. Obey your parents, and it'll be a blessing for you, your Christian parents. You know, in Proverbs 17, verse 6, it says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Brother shared earlier this morning, he said they wore their father out. God, help us this morning that you children don't wear your fathers and mothers out. Come along the side of them. Bless them. Psalms 123. I would like to look at some of those scriptures as the heart of God. Or I'm sorry, Psalms 127. Again, very familiar scriptures. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And as soon as children can get a hold of that and harness together with parents to be a stopping force at the enemy at the gate, the more powerful it becomes in the kingdom of God. Children, this morning, I know this morning, as Brother Dan shared, I know this morning many times it feels like you're being narrowed down. It felt like that in my life. Still does at times. As a child of God, it doesn't feel like, I want to broaden my horizon. You're narrowed down. There's a purpose for a narrowing. You know, this is at 2 to 3 to 5 years old, this is a narrowing. This works. This isn't a beating instrument. This is something that is a blessing. This narrows down their mind. The reason is because there's arrows going to leave our home. Some of us have that already. There's been many blessings that I see. I thank God for that. But the enemy's against it. The devil, the adversary of our souls is against it. He wants to destroy it. Largely this morning, we will leave our homes how we have been taught, how we have been shaped, how we have been taught, guided, and instructed, largely. How we've been taught. or how we have decided to obey and yield. Largely, that's what will happen. That will either be a glory or it will be a shame. You can choose that, children. You can you're part of helping make that choice. And I can assure you this morning that you don't want to be part of the shame. The shame has a Christless end. This morning, children are a gift from God. If you think of children this morning, they're a gift, a true gift from God. We'll read a few scriptures there. It says, in Genesis 33:5, it says, "And he lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and the children and said, Who are those with thee? And he said, The children with God hath graciously given thy servant." Look at your children. Look at my children. These are the children that God so graciously give us. Isn't that a blessing? Our children are a beautiful gift from God. They're not in our way this morning. They're a blessing from God. Let our children know that. They're gifts from God. These children, there's something they need. They need training. They need to be provided for. They need to be nurtured. They need to be controlled. And I looked at that word a few different interchanges, but they need to be controlled. They do. Because naturally they're out of control. To love, to correct, to exhort. We need to teach them to be thankful, to be helpful, to be respectful, and etc. Those are a few thoughts. But think of these things. There is a humanistic teaching that says the Holy Spirit will come down and teach my five-year-old how to be controlled. It will not happen on the authority of the Word of God. He can help, but he helps because he has placed the authority structure of parents in that home to guide and shape and do this. It's a great blessing this morning. It's a great humility to think of these things that God has invested us with as parents with this. It causes us, like Dan said, to be on our face. God, how should we do this? Thank you, Dan. I felt like there was some gas, like a bucket of gas poured on my heart. And it feels like I want to be careful with my emotions. Because if the family is a part, the church, we're going to talk about that message next. The church is a fragmented building. Smaller children this morning, little smaller children, it may feel like you're being corrected all the time. It's normal. Sometimes us as parents, we wonder if this is normal. Is there something wrong with us? It's nothing wrong with us. They need correction. They need a continued correction. We're tempted with this. You need to be corrected. You need help just like we do. You know, the rod in Proverbs, it talks about the rod is to drive away foolishness from a child. Have you ever seen a 25, 30, 40-year-old, even 50, 60-year-olds are just foolish? Very likely that was never driven from their life by this instrument. Not in anger, but the foolishness of the heart needs to be delivered out of our hearts. And God has a plan. When our children are smaller, we sense that they allow us to totally guide them. We can guide them into about anything. So that's why it is important. It is important this morning that they learn that the rod of correction is not a destruction. We live in a professing world that throws all kinds of light on that. But it's a great love. We pray. We give correction. We give instruction and direction. And then we free their conscience. And we have certain ways that we do that in our home. And when they come out of that meeting, their lights, their eyes can be free. And their conscience is clean. And they can go on. We don't need to bring condemnation. That's the blessing of discipline. It is important for our children to understand when they disobey mommy and daddy, it's a sin. It's not optional. Because when they disobey mommy and daddy, they will disobey God. They'll learn how to do that. Our children do not just all of a sudden become spiritual. It's the same process in every generation from the start of the creation of man. It's a process of generation of families, even the children of Israel. You could see how they were administering the principles of the Word of God, how their families would come out. You know, this morning when we try hard to take a four-year-old and try to teach him why he shouldn't open a drawer. I mean, you name the practical things. And then you try to hold him fast, and we're going to read about two Bible stories to him. And it's really hard this morning to read a Bible story to a four-year-old that's stiff as a board. It's really hard. You see, something needs to happen. We want to read Bible stories, but something needs to take place in a child's heart. That resistance that Brother Dan talked about. Some of my testimony is I wasn't able to get free from that until I was a few days before I was married. In a sense, I was converted. But just that little seed of resistance. Maybe there's someone in here that's a father even, or even an older. And there's just that little resistance inside. It hurts. It destroys. It destroys homes. It destroys churches. So I thought of that from little children. The ages are varying. But I thought from the age four up into the teens, I thought of, a brother shared some time ago, it's teach and teach and teach. It's instruct, instruct, instruct. That sometimes is wearisome because we're not made of, and that's what our fathers did for us. The burden is not so we can have something so much more special than anybody else. But the burden is that our children would be redeemed from a world of corruption and subtle influences. May we put as much energy into this work as God empowers us. You know, some of the energy today, this message is not nullifying missions. We don't put things down to pick something else up. But if we have broken families, we won't have good missions. I think of our children in their purity and instruction and guide. Protect us with all diligence. Don't be ashamed, daddies. Protect us with all diligence so they grow up to have a clean view of God, a clean view of opposite gender. You know, so it still means this morning. You know, I thought of that when we were, you can't help but think back many times. We cared about the books that were in our shelf. We still care about that. Do we still care about that? You know, the books, the videos, the progression, the things that come into our minds, it will form our children. It will form our children. You know, be careful with them books. Now we're getting into the 12, 13. Be careful with those good meaning books that end with a love story. It forms their mind. And it sends them on a journey. Be careful with them screens. You know, I think of that this morning. I thought I desire to be practical. It's a blessing for us. Be careful when you're trying to find how to make a cake. You know, sometimes they have videos these days. And they got a provocative individual trying to show you how to do these things. It forms you. It forms our children. It is okay to guard that. It's our job. Your children won't. They won't do that. It is okay this morning. It is not. You know, I think of books, screen, and digital. I imagine 50 years ago, they didn't talk about these practical things because screen activity and digital world was kind of in the backdrop. But it's a big power. I would say it wouldn't be fair to say that it's not affecting us. It's affecting us. Watch it. It's affecting me sometimes. So that's not condemning anyone, but it's affecting us. It's affecting how they think, how our children think. I would say that the screen and digital world is not to be our children's teachers as a whole in their forming years. They were just burdens. Forming years. Teaching. Teaching belongs to parents. Like I shared, it's a great blessing to think about I would say this morning that we are facing the pressure. You know, I don't know why it seems like in the past we've been hearing it. As Brother Dan stood up here this morning and I thought, praise the Lord. But we're facing the pressure. We're facing the pressure of a compartmentalized family, all divided up in age groups. We're facing that pressure. And it comes from the world. It does. It comes from the world this morning. The family is precious. You know, the world this morning, I had some of these thoughts. The world is unashamed to teach our children. They're unashamed to teach our children by billboards, by magazines, by posters, how to what to wear. They're unashamed to teach them how to stand and pose for a picture. They are. They're unashamed to do that. They're unashamed to teach them how to put the right thing on so you can draw attention to your body. They won't tell you to stop. That's too far. They won't do that. Daddies and mommies, that's a responsibility. And I had to think of that some time ago. I listened to a message on some of these things that happen. I would say some of these things are affecting us. You know, and so when there's people that jump out of an airplane, they have a certain amount of minutes because of the altitude that they jump off. They only have a certain amount of minutes. Maybe in this sense, this could be years. This could be, but we want to look at the urgency of time when we know something's not right in our lives and in my life and our family. So when they say at certain altitude you need to pull the ripcord. They might know what a ripcord is, and then it goes out and you come landing home safely. And so sometimes in life, when there's a maze happening and you don't know how to sort through it, sometimes you just need to pull the ripcord. You need to call 911, if you will. And we need to bring a restart or a revaluation of what we're thinking. You know, when you do that, when you call 911, help comes. But not until then. If these principles that we're talking about are driving my home, if children are controlling the home, I would say that these things are from the world. They're from the world. And we need it out of our hearts and our homes. That's why the greatest burden is that we would get it out of our hearts. We need to be delivered. It is a great beauty, going on a little bit into maybe older children, it is a great beauty for a teen daughter or son, and daughter in particular, to allow her daddy and mommy to totally guide her in this priceless time of her life. It's priceless. And in the epistles, it teaches us that. The eternal word of God calls us to turn away. You know, sometimes we can live in a situation in life where the only thing that God really calls us to do is just turn away. And then deliverance comes and power comes. But many times people just like to live in it and pray and hopefully something will change. But the Bible many times says flee and turn away. And when we turn, all of heaven comes and meets it because it's a principle. We don't do these things by our own strength, but when we know we need to turn away from this, then a deliverance comes. And I would say that then and then only is when a special deliverance comes. When you take your eyes and you turn away and you turn unto Him. Turn unto Him, and that's a replacement that is priceless as we continue to call upon Him as parents and children. You know, we teach our children. It's practical. We teach our children how to repent. We can teach them how to repent to daddy and mommy for doing wrong. They've done wrong, and we can repent, and it can be a clearing. This molds them to rightly repent before God. Children, young people, as we go now into a little bit older age, your parents, they will teach you how to walk. They will teach you how to talk. You know, a little one, we try to do that. But as you grow older, I've seen that in my life. It would have been good for me to be taught how to how to carry myself, how to present my body as living sacrifice to God and His people, to be holy, to be wholesome. We can do that by the grace of God. How to walk, how to talk, how to carry our body, how to get along with others, how to walk and how to act. There's boundaries. Parents' responsibility are to teach our children that. Children by nature will not find those boundaries. This is a blessing this morning. And with this in mind, it continues to strengthen the people of God. Our own family, your families, we're together. We want to strengthen the people of God that, yes, you just can't go do and say whatever you want. And for your information or for your confirmation, children, I, as a daddy at 43 years old this year, I can't go do and say and wear and do whatever I want. I can't do that. It's not how it works. I live by principle. I have to. If I want a blessing, I have to. I visit with my wife, my brethren. We don't do whatever we want. There are boundaries. You know, these burdens, as we, you know, sometimes we have those burdens in life when we are newly converted and our family starts to be born, and then the accusations come. You wait. You'll die down. And I'm sure, as Brother Dan was sharing, there are things in my life that were unholy in motive. But the burden don't go away. It's an eternal burden. The burden don't go away because we make a few mistakes. And now the children get the roles mixed around, and because Dad has made so many mistakes. That's not God's design. The burden needs to cause us to rise up again in the power of God. Not in the power of the human flesh, but in the power of God. That God wants men, wants families, wants husbands and wives to humbly be unashamed to guide them, because the world does this morning. The world is unashamed to do it. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy, I would say this is a little bit on this, would be in the sisters. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, starts in with the men. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And that's a beautiful, beautiful principle of eternity for our girls, for our daughters. And the thing is, I thought, yes, we can read those verses and we try to interpret them, but we can read those verses in 20 years from now. And when this group of people isn't sitting in this room, if the Lord tarry, they can read them again and they'll work for every generation. They will. Praise God. It's encouraging to know that this is what we teach the aged women to teach the younger women. That's the Bible. The Bible teaches us that. So it shouldn't be abnormal to us to take our little girls and teach them how to do things, teach them how to do the things of the Word of God, the principles of the Word. Children are very impressionable. Young girls in particular. Seem like as they grow older, they're very impressionable. Sometimes, and many times, young girls going into their youth, it really matters how you look. I understand that. It matters how we look. And by the authority of the Word of God, the Bible would say, every one of you young sisters are beautiful. God made you. God made you beautiful. You know, to do something different than that is conflicting in the kingdom of God. It conflicts. And it automatically puts your personal body in a conflict with the kingdom of God. To not be thankful and content how God made you. Because, young sisters, this is a battle between the natural and the supernatural. It's two battles. The natural and the supernatural. You know, I think the church It's the greatest blessing for me in my life, to, as I was thinking back over the last number of days, to see the church, see God's people work together, help each other and bless each other. Sisters making meals, doing things. But you know, it isn't going to stay that way, young sisters. If you're worried about your nails, and if you're worried about how the curls of your hair should be just right, it won't stay that way for you. You're beautiful, but this other way is worldly. It's worldly. You know, the thoughts that come into our mind, I just don't look right. It's foolish. It's foolish. You know, I just don't have the right color hair, or I don't have the right sweater, or I don't look right. It's the whispering words of the devil. Others are having fun and I'm not. My parents, and these are beautiful discussions. Have them with your family. We try to. It's a blessing. These truths are tested this morning. And beloved, this is not bondage. This is freedom. If you think this is bondage, try that road for a season. It's bondage. This is freedom, the church, the beautiful kingdom of God. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, a few other scriptures. First Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. It says, in light of the sisters, it says, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and a wearing of a gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Just a few verses there, very familiar verses, the timeless tested truths again. But God Almighty has given us this instruction. This instruction this morning, children, especially primarily to sisters, is not to restrict you, but to help you become a glorious picture of a bride of Christ, of a sister that loves God, a mother of children someday. You know, the blessing is there is we're not just comfortable with just knocking out bad things and trying to jerk off fruit, but we are also very interested. The kingdom is interested in verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, a holy woman, in that which is not corruptible. Not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. I see that, and I'm blessed by that. But when that thing gets permeated and gets pressed at, then sisters turn a corner, and they think it's better to dial up. I just want to say, if those things are happening in your heart, pull the ripcord. Call for some help, because the end of it is destruction. Next, you look at some thoughts for young men as they grow. Young men, God has a plan for you. Young men also, there's a big movement around. There's a great big movement around. It has been, I'm sure, before I was born. Some of the older brothers can verify or talk about these things. There's a big movement that keeps cycling. It's a plan. God has a plan for man. He has a plan for young men, for fathers to teach them. And this movement is, you can teach and instruct these truths to your children. Just teach them and instruct them. But you cannot command them to do it. Because if you command them to do it and they don't have a right heart and they're not seeing it clearly, they become hypocrites. And by the way, then we are only concerned about our reputation and our personal convictions. I'm sure you've all heard those things. But rather the truth is, the Word of God commands us in the Old Testament to direct and command our children after us as we serve the Lord. That is the Word of God. And I say, you know what? Let the accusations roll against the kingdom of God. Personal convictions or my reputation can go away, but the kingdom of God must stand and must be there. And we must do it with humility. We must not care to be called hypocrites. We must not care. Invite yourself to be called those things and be joyful. Our reputation doesn't matter, but the kingdom does. And our precious children going on and on does. This world is going to pass away in the lust thereof. For young men, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. It's an antidote of an answer. You know, it's a replacement. It's an answer. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we'll stop with those verses. To see the contrast in verse 17, the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever, every generation. So come what may, accusations of opposition, it doesn't matter. We should be a joyful people pressing into the kingdom. Let us do that. It says all ages. You think of the ages there, the message there in 1 John to all ages, to men, to little children, young men. This morning, think of you as a young man from age 10 to 20. A lot happens in that age bracket from 10 to 20. A lot happens. Tremendous decisions are made in some of you young men's lives right in this room this morning. And we can't see them all, but you're making them inside your mind and your heart. You're making them. Think this morning to me, will you forfeit your sins being gone, remitted, forgiven? Will you forfeit being strong in the word of God, having that word abiding in your life? Walking in victory, overcoming the wicked one. Isn't that inviting? If you look at the contrast of what the world has to offer, a continued cycle of sin. But this is the overcoming the wicked one, young men. And it gives that exhortation with all those points, strong young men, the word of God abiding in us. And because of all that, that verse 15 should not be negative to us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For everything that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you know, that becomes an inspiration, not a drudgery. We don't love the world no more. We don't love the world. Meaning this morning, do not be molded to this age. There's three avenues, and Jesus taught that back on the Mount of Transfiguration. Those three avenues of lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's how he enters into situations. God's call for you as a young man, Brother Dan, I'll go over that just a little bit. I will skip some of that, is to harness up, to come along the side of your daddy, young men. It's a glorious picture. It pales to the compartmenting lies, the divisions of all age groups. It pales when a father has a son that comes along the side of him and says, Daddy, can I help you? I appreciate what you're sharing. I love you. It's worth it. It's a blessing. But it'll cost us something. It'll always cost us something. Daddies and young men. You'll have to decide that in your life, because there'll be people pressing in around your life that'll be giving you a whole lot of other medicine. We have to decide that. You have to decide what for blessings we want. You're growing into a man. It's a very important time of your life. You know, we some of this idea that presses in, we shared earlier, I'm a man now. I can do what I want. It don't work that way. It never works that way. It's the greatest time in your life to submit to your parents. It's the greatest time in your life. You know, I want us to think of this in a practical way, the way it influences us. You could be sitting here as a young man this morning, and you know in your heart, you just know in your heart, that there are certain things in my life that my daddy don't appreciate. Just certain things. It's not a lot. He don't really appreciate my certain lifestyle. It's not real bad, but I know he struggles with it just a little bit. But I don't push it enough that he has to end up saying something, because he's wondering if he should talk, or if he wonder if he should pray, or if he wonder if, you know, those are wrestlings from this two-way street. You're just pushing just a little. You keep it so the parents don't just, you know, they just don't say nothing. So we're all doing good. Just a little bit. You know, I think of this. You know, we all care about our lives, fathers, mothers, children. You know, you think of, does it matter how you look? Does it have to be just right? You know, just the right fit. You know, it's just right for me. And I gotta have a mirror that's from the ceiling to the floor, so I can turn, and I can see this thing, so I look just right. I look in the mirror and I comb my hair. I understand all that, but I just want to say that these things are from the world. They're from the world. They influence our heart to think about ourselves as strangers and pilgrims passing through this life. And other than that, on the side note of that, the Word of God, I think if we know that deep in our hearts as godly young men, and we have a godly parents beside us, we know that there's just some things that my daddy don't want me to do, and you continue to do that. I think we would just like to say this morning, it's a seed of rebellion. It's a seed of rebellion. And you won't like where you end up. It might not look like it for the next 5 years, 10 years. But rebellion is a blinding effect in my life. I remember it in my life. Rebellion, it blinds. Proverbs 30:17 says, "The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." It means that you will no longer have sight. You'll be able to see, but you won't be able to see clearly. That's what that means. And it's always astounding to us, I know some of you are older, that sometimes the more people ramp up into rebellion and they spiritualize it. And we can talk spiritual. But at the bottom of it, it's rebellion. It's resistance. I make that plea for my life and my family. It can affect us. My dad don't understand. They're old. Dan shared all those things. Don't ever go down that path. You have a beautiful opportunity. Don't ever go down that path. Just do it just a little different than your daddy and mommy. That path has been proven by many before us. It has. If our changes that we make do not bring glory, more glory and honor to God, then don't make the changes. Don't make them. We need to make changes to bring honor and glory to God. We do. And we want to. We want to be obedient children to the Word of God. Very distinctly. You know, I think of that as I think of these, some of these truths. I thought some of you, I'm sure, you have this book at home. It's The Martyrs of the Catacombs. I won't read it for the sake of time this forenoon. But there was a young boy. His name is Polio. Polius, I think. He come before trial. And any of you ever remember that story or read it? And I'm trying to make it impressionable on your lives as teenagers. I wrote down here, before I read this story, that sometimes us as fathers and mothers, we have a bit of a carnal expectation for our teenage children. That means carnal in a sense that maybe it can take them 25 years to grow out of a certain besetting situation. God has power. God has power to deliver you and this young man was 13 years old, and the beasts of the arena ate him alive. You compare that to an 8-foot mirror and how you look. You compare that to the clothing industry of America. Just compare it in your mind, and God help us to make some serious decisions. Serious decisions for the glory of the kingdom of God. This young man, they thought they would do him an injustice, so they killed his mother first. His judgment had been correct. While Polio's mother lived, the thought of her would have weakened his resolution. Now that she was dead, he was eager to depart also. In simple faith, he believed that death would unite him at once with the dear mother he loved so fondly. I'll tell you this morning, that young man had no resistance in between him and his mother. Nothing. With those feelings, he awaited his examination. Then the examination come, "Who are you?" And he said, "Marcus Pollio." At the mention of his name, a murmur of compassion went about the assembly, for that name was well known in Rome. "What is your age?" He said, 13 years old. "You are charged with the crime of being a Christian. What have you to say?" This is his response. "I am guilty of no crime, said the boy. "I am a Christian, and I am glad to be able to confess it before men." "Is that the same with them all?" said one of the judges. "It is the same with them all," said one of the judges. "They all have the same formula. Do you know the nature of your crime?" "I am not guilty of no crime," said Pollio. "My faith teaches me to fear God and honor the empire. I have obeyed every just law, and I am not a traitor." "To be a Christian is to be a traitor. I am a Christian, but I am not a traitor. The law of the state forbids you to be a Christian under pain or death. If you are a Christian, you must die." "I am a Christian," repeated Pollio firmly. "Then you must die." And his response was, "Be it so." And today we would say, most of us in this room would say, we are a Christian. In the Western culture, and I'm sure in all other parts of the world, as the kingdom of God, as the church seeks out the Christians. And I would like to exhort you. I said it was 13. Now there's other stories of older people, but this young man was 13 years old. And you're in here and you're 13 and you're 14 and you're 15. And you're grappling with the carnality of this world. Just repent. Come to God. Just come back to God and love Him. That way you also can be unashamed as this 13-year-old. And with your parents, unashamed, "I'm a Christian. I can't do this. I can't go there. I can't." You know, think of this. Our desire today was to be an encouragement to our families. I think I shared the next thoughts I would have is to integrate our families into the church of Jesus. But without this family foundation, the church is shattered, as Brother Dan was sharing this morning. It's shattered. That was our desire today, is to share this from our hearts. So it's for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. We covet your prayers as parents. We covet your prayers as a family. I also invite any thoughts. Some of these thoughts were shared. They were shared as I would share with my family in some ways. They were from our hearts. We love you. May God have His way, that we, as many generations from now, can be families, and our children can have families, and they can love God. And thereby ye are a witness unto the world by this entity. So God bless you. Thank you for being a blessing to us and our family.